The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 15. And Jesus here has been speaking with his disciples and questioning them regarding what others have said as far as who he is. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our Christian faith through them. Amen. Ancient times, and at the time, especially when scripture would have been written, the concept of the gates of a city meant a lot more than we may think them to mean. It wasn't just the doors to get into the walls of a city, certainly was that. But the gates of a city really represented much more of that. Just to give you an example, imagine if you would, you come up to a huge city with enormous walls, and you go through these gates and into a chamber that is maybe even the size of this sanctuary. And then there's another set of huge doors to get into the actual city. And imagine that way up on the walls, like about the height of this, it was lined with archers and soldiers with spears and arrows and bows and arrows. And so your first checkpoint when you entered the city to come in was to go into this chamber, and then they would check you out. It was kind of a security measure. They would make sure that you were not there to do any harm. And soldiers would often come out, and if you had weapons with you, they would take those off of you and so on. And if anything started to happen, if they sensed any type of rebellion in this group that had now come into this smaller chamber, they would let loose with all of their arrows and spears and everything else. In addition to that, the walls and the buildings that surrounded the gates of many of these ancient cities were not only the most fortified, but they were often decorated very beautifully, and they were considered to be the seat of power. Quite frequently, from these places, as you entered a city, would be where you would come to hear decrees from the king. It was also a place where the elders of the city or the judges would gather and sometimes have public trials. The most important public trials would be held at the gates of the city. If you read through the Old Testament, it's amazing how often you hear that he was brought to the city gates, and they brought him to the gates of the city. The elders met at the gates of the city. And it's more than just doors to get through a wall. The gates of the city really represented the ultimate power that this nation had. It represented the highest dignitaries and the highest, most upper echelons of power and authority in that city, representing likewise a nation. Now, Jesus uses that very imagery in the text in front of us to talk about the powers of the devil, the powers of hell. He calls it Hades here. He depicts hell itself as a nation, as having this great power, and that the gates of hell, he talks about, is where this seat of authority in this nation of hell and all that it represents, all the evil and nastiness that hell could represent. Back in the 19th century, there was a famous sculptor in France by the name of Auguste Rodin. And Rodin is most famous for The Thinker, if you remember the guy with his hand on his chin. That very image of the thinker is actually above another sculpture that he did that's about 15 or 17 feet tall called the Gates of Hell. It was to be an entrance to a museum. That's a nice way to think of your museum. And at the top of those gates is that thinker image. And some think that it may have been Dante from back in the Renaissance era. Others think that it may have been depicting Adam, contemplating looking down on everything that his fall into sin has brought to humanity. And if you look at those images, you should look it up and Google it sometime. Look at the image of that sculpture of those gates and it's full of twisted figures and characters, and people, in a sense, being tortured. Beautifully done, but horrifying at the same time. And I know when I was a child and I would hear passages in the Bible about hell and the reality of hell, this would often really, really scare me. There's one passage that used to really get to me when I was a kid. It's the passage where Jesus describes the suffering in hell when he says that there is a worm that will never die. The way that worms eat our decomposed bodies, that a worm would never die. How terrifying the thought of this horrible, if you will, evil nation that stands against all that God wants for good. But notice Jesus' words. Look what Jesus says. He's talking about the confession of himself as the Son of God, as the Savior, that Peter has just given. Peter, whose name means rock and stone. And he turns now to Peter and to the rest of his disciples, speaking about Peter's confession of him as the Savior. And he says, on this rock, meaning on your confession of me as the Savior, the Son of God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. There's no power in hell that can ever prevail or win a victory over somebody who has this confession on their heart and on their lips. If you controlled the gates of a city, you controlled the nation. You won the war. You were in charge of everything. And you could plunder and conquer that city and all of its inhabitants. It meant that their greatest show of force and the height of all that they could muster up against you could not withstand what you had. And just think of that Jesus says that somebody who in their heart believes that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who came to die for our sins, the one who came to rise again from the dead and on Easter to give us the hope of the resurrection, if you believe in that Christ and trust in him in your heart and have his confession of who he is on your lips, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Just think how amazing that is. You know, there were times when Jesus would bring a little child, I mean a really little kid, up in front of his disciples, like maybe 2-3 years old, and he would have that little child stand in front of them. And he would say, you must become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven, meaning that innocent trust that a little child has in Christ and in his word. And to think that little child, armed with the word of Christ on his or her lips, has the power to defeat all the forces of hell and Hades itself. Just think what a tremendous thing that is. Isn't it amazing to think that if you were raised in the Christian faith from infancy, that when you were 4 or 5 years old, you probably had more power over the devil then than you do now? Isn't that amazing? To think what a tremendous gift we have in this faith that Christ puts into our hearts. As Jesus says to Peter, this wasn't taught to you by flesh and blood. This came to you from heaven. God himself is the one who has put this confession in your heart and on your lips. But may we never try in our minds to diminish just how significant and powerful is the name of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And we pray, God, our Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil and the powers of darkness that try to pull us away from you. Help us always to love our Lord and Savior, your Son. Help us always to love his word and his sacraments, that we may someday see you face to face and enter through the gates of your home, the mansions above in heaven. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.